Now, reading this morning is continuing our series in Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew chapter 13 and verses 44 through to 52. This is continuing Jesus' parables. Let's hear the word of the Lord. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the burning furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Amen. God will bless this reading from his holy word. Now again, it's good for us to be together today, and even if the church building is closed presently, it's good that we can come together in a virtual way to worship together and to gather around God's word. This morning we're continuing our series in Matthew's Gospel, the series that we restarted last week. And we are again this morning going to look at some of the parables that Jesus told. Now last week we thought about how the parables were not necessarily that easy to understand. Although we're often told, perhaps as children, that parables are earthly stories with a heavenly meaning, that sometimes they can be quite difficult. That's why we were grateful last week that Jesus interpreted his own parable with the parable of the weeds. Now this morning we're continuing looking at the parables, which were probably all told in the kind of one teaching session. Jesus has been teaching from Lake Galilee. He's been teaching from a boat while the crowds have been on the beach. And while he's been in the boat, he's told them the parable of the sower, the parable of the weeds, and the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. But then after that, he makes his way into the house, just with his disciples. And so what we find now in the latter part of chapter 13 is a private teaching session, so to speak. And first of all, when they're in the house, the disciples ask Jesus about the parable of the weeds. And we saw last week that Jesus explained that parable. But then as an add-on to that kind of teaching, Jesus then gave them some more parables to have a think about. And so today, we're going to look at the parable of the treasure in the field, the parable of the pearl, the parable of the net. And if you can call it a parable, or it's probably just a kind of metaphor, there's the last verse in verse 52, which might be called the parable of the householder. Now, what's really important to note in these parables is that Jesus is showing different aspects of what the kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom that he is bringing in as king. Because after all, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the king over all. Now, at one level, the first couple of parables, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl, on the surface, they look fairly easy to understand. Indeed, the common interpretation is that these two parables are about the worth of the kingdom. And so the message, the common interpretation of these parables is that their message is that this is about us finding the kingdom and selling everything that we have to obtain the kingdom. And so there's a man in the field, he finds the treasure, and that man is us. And therefore, there is value in the kingdom. We sell everything we have to own that field to get the treasure. In a similar way, we are the merchant. That's the common interpretation. We find a pearl of great value, great cost, and therefore we buy it with all that we have. That's the common interpretation, isn't it? The common interpretation is that we are the man in the field. We are the merchant who finds a pearl of great value and sells everything that we have to buy it. And so we might think that the message here is about the kingdom being worth so much more than anything else that effectively we give up everything we have to obtain it. Now, there's nothing wrong with that message. It's true that being in the kingdom is of far greater value than anything we have, anything we own, anything we are. And of course, there is a sense, isn't there, in which we have to be willing to give up everything to follow Jesus. Think of the rich young man, for example. Remember how he came to Jesus, how he said he'd kept the commandments, and Jesus looked at him, loved him. And Jesus said, look, you must do one more thing. Sell all you have, all your possessions, give to the poor, come follow me. And the rich young man couldn't do it. He couldn't let his possessions go. And so the message about the value of the kingdom of heaven would be true. However, I would suggest to you that that might not be the message from these parables. And this is the reason why. In the parable of the weeds, just before these two parables, Jesus says the person in the field, in the parable of the weeds, is the Son of Man, a title he uses of himself, i.e. the man in the field is Jesus. The field, he says, is the world. And so what I want to suggest to you is, how can it be that in the parables that come immediately after the parable of the weeds, so the parable of the treasure in the field, the parable of the pearl, that the person in the field is not Jesus but us? How can we make that leap? Why would Jesus mix his metaphors, so to speak, in such a way? Does it not make much more sense that the man in the field is Jesus and that the field is the world and the treasure is us? And the merchant is Jesus and the pearl is us. And so I want to turn things upside down from the common interpretation. Charles Price says this: rather than being a picture of how the sinner obtains Christ, it's a picture of how Christ obtains the sinner. And if we look at the two parables, the parable of the treasure hidden in the field and the parable of the pearl, in this way, I think there is a wonderful truth. And the parables, when we look at them this way, are much more like the parables of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost son. You see, in the parable of the treasure, a man finds treasure in the field. The fact he found treasure, suggests that he was looking for treasure. And remember, what did Jesus say? Jesus said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. And to obtain the treasure, the man sold all he had to buy that field with the treasure in it. And is that not what Jesus did? Did Jesus not lay down his life, give everything that he had, that we might live, that we might come into the kingdom of God? You see, this is the activity of Jesus making our salvation possible. And this is something that we see again in the parable of the pearl. If we see the merchant as Jesus and not us, then Jesus, as the merchant, finds a pearl of great value. He sells everything he has and he buys it. You see, it makes no sense, really, if the merchant is us and the pearl is Jesus or salvation, because we don't buy our salvation, do we? But Jesus pays the full price. That's the point in this parable. the parable of the pearl. He gives up everything that we might live. Now, this parable is very similar to that of the treasure in the field, but there might be a specific difference. You see, the treasure in the field is described pretty generally, but the parable of the pearl is much more specific. So if the field in the parable of the hidden treasure is the world, it would be true to say that Jesus died for the world. However, in the parable of the pearl, the man is looking for fine pearls. He singles it out individually. And that is an amazing truth, that God, by his grace, draws us to himself one by one. So we see in these two parables that rather than this being about us searching for and finding the kingdom, that this is actually about Jesus coming and seeking and saving the lost. And it's always this way, isn't it? You see, sometimes people will say, "I found Jesus," and you know what they mean. But the fact is that Jesus was never lost. But we were. We are the lost sheep. We're the lost coin. We are the lost son. We are the one who needs to be found. And Jesus finds us. And in his joy, he sells all he has to buy us. Wow. You see, this is a picture of what Jesus did on the cross. It's a picture of all that he did for us. You see, in understanding these two parables in this way, I find myself moved by God's grace, that he was willing to seek me out and has done so in Jesus. And he sees me as a treasure. He sees me as a pearl of great value, because your value is found in Jesus. It's not in what you've done in your life. It's only found in him. I hope you find yourself moved by that too. Now let's move on to the next parable, the parable of the net, before looking at Jesus' closing remarks. The parable of the net is perhaps easier for us to understand, as Jesus gives a little interpretation of it. And it's similar in theme to the parable of the weeds, but it's not an easy parable, is it? The focus is on the net let down into the lake and fish of all kinds being caught. And then there is the separation, isn't there, of the good fish and the bad fish. And Jesus says that this is how it will be at the end of the age, that there will be a separation between the wicked and the righteous. Now, we thought briefly about this last week, don't we? So I don't want to labour the point. But it ought to be clear to us from Jesus' teaching that he speaks often about the end of time. And he speaks often about the time that will come when there will be a separation, the righteous and the unrighteous, those in the kingdom and those not in the kingdom, those who follow Jesus and those who don't. You see, there is a sentimental view, isn't there? That at the end of time, God will just forgive everyone. And everyone will come into the kingdom of heaven. But that just isn't true. It isn't what we find in the Bible. It isn't what we find in the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is quite clear that there will be a separation, that there will be heaven and hell. God is a God of justice, but he's also a God of grace. And he wants us to come into a relationship with him. Now, after Jesus has been speaking these parables to his disciples, he then speaks directly to the disciples. And he says to them, "Have you understood these things?" And the disciples, perhaps surprisingly, say, "Yes, we understand." We don't quite know what their understanding is, But yes, they have some kind of understanding. They have an understanding of what the kingdom is about. Yes, they understand that despite the world being a mixed place where weeds grow among the wheat that, and at the end of time will be separated, they understand that Jesus has come to find the treasure and to pay for the pearl of great cost. They understand the reality that there are the righteous, those who follow Jesus, and those who are unrighteous, those who reject him. And at the end of time, there will be consequences for that rejection. And the question for us this morning, as we come to the end of these parables and this teaching of Jesus, is do we understand these things? You see, it would be easier for us just to let it gloss over us, or to bury our heads in the sand, or to turn away. But this is the reality, that Jesus came to save sinners, that he paid the ultimate price for us, and he wants us to come to him. Why does Jesus speak more about hell than anyone else in the Bible? Is it not because he wanted to warn us and to say, look, I don't want you to go there. I want you to be with me. I want you to be with me in glory forever and ever. He wants us to come to him. And the alternative is truly awful. Do we understand these things? The disciples say they do, and Jesus finishes with a short comparison, perhaps another parable, when he says, therefore, every teacher of the law who's become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. The disciples will never give up in discouragement. If the treasure here is the same as the treasure in the parable of the hidden treasure, there'll always be new people for whom Jesus died to be brought to him in maturity. There is always confidence, always hope, always new treasures, always something to do in the kingdom. So as we finish these parables this morning, let's be people of the kingdom. Let's understand what Jesus has come to do. Let's have responsive hearts. Let's understand the eternal consequences for us and for the world. Let's worship the King and be part of his kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words to us this day. And we thank you that we can see Jesus as the man in the field, looking for treasure and finding it. And because he's so excited in his joy, he goes, sells everything he has to buy that field where the treasure is. And Lord God, that's a picture for us of what Jesus has come to do, that he's come into the world, that he's come seeking treasure, seeking people who are responsive to him, people who will put their faith and trust in him and who will follow him with all that they have. Father, may we be those kind of people who see Jesus as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and who want to come into his kingdom. We see also, Lord God, the warning that we see in the parable of the net, because we see at the end of time, the angels will separate the good fish from the bad, the righteous from the unrighteous. We recognize there is only one way to be righteous, and that's putting our faith and trust in Jesus. And we pray that we would be willing to do that. Lord God, we thank you that Jesus speaks about eternal things, speaks about heaven and hell, because he wants us to see the true reality. He desperately wants us not to be separated from him. So, Lord God, we pray that we would come to you and put our faith and trust in you. And Lord God, as we understand that this is the reality, we pray that you would ignite in our hearts once more a real compassion for those around us, for our family members and our friends, that we might gossip the gospel, that we might tell them of the good news about Jesus, that they too might come into the kingdom of heaven. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us this day, and we pray that you might speak to our hearts through it. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.